Proverbs Every Day, Season 10, looking at Episode 276, Proverbs 1 today in a brand new translation, which will be revealed right after this. Prayer time! Father God, thank you so much for another day that you have blessed us with, and I thank you for going into the 10th month of doing this every single day. And Father, that you have blessed me so much with so much understanding in the midst of doing all this, and that I assume others are being blessed as well. So Father, we do thank you and praise you for that. But more importantly, this morning, Father, we do ask for a special portion of your blessing this morning as we dive into a new translation, that it would be your words, not ours, that are spoken, that it would be your truth and not something that is incorrect from me. So, Father, this morning I do ask that you send Holy Spirit to us to interpret for us that the truth will be here, and that the words will not matter, but the understanding will. So, Father, we love you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's dive in to the New Living Translation. It's one that's used pretty commonly at my church, and I think several others. So I'm assuming, yeah, with all these, you know, if at any point, if you're representing the people that do this and you don't find this to be appropriate, just let me know. You know, we'll deal with it, but I assume that it's okay to be doing this. So let's dive into this, shall we? Purpose of Proverbs. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. So we've got it down right here. So a big piece of this too, is that this is, well, it's kind of cool that we have this after all these years. We have all these structure of words that are passed down and passed down and passed down that help us even in today's world. And as we go along here, especially if this is your first time with us, you'll see very, very clearly that very much Proverbs still applies in today's world. This is not an exclusive thing to a point in history, but very much things that we can apply even today. Verse 3, their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. You know, assuming this is your first time viewing, or maybe you need a refresher, I do have kind of a system that I've developed of highlighting, and my hope was to have a slightly different way of presenting this on screen today, but we're trying something different out anyway. But anyway, in any case, you see four colors at the bottom there: yellow, red, blue, and green. Yellow are just general highlights. Red is something where I want to do some further investigation. So sometimes if I have a question about a translation or a verse, I will mark that in red, and sometimes we'll go back and look at other translations to try and find what is different about that and try and get some understanding out of that. Blue is something that I use when I'm drawing a correlation between areas of a verse, and you can see patterns. In Proverbs, you see this a lot, where you'll see one thing relates to another and in a very specific way, and so you'll help. I'll help draw those out. Green are action items. Green indicates things that we should do. But specifically, when I'm highlighting, I'm looking at this from my perspective. These are action items for DJ. So if that's helpful to you, well, even if it's not, I'm doing it anyway. But anyway, that's to explain my highlighting system. Verse 4. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Sorry? Oh. Verse 5. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is foundation of true knowledge, but fools despised wisdom and discipline. So fools despise wisdom and discipline. Something that's very important here to note is that when it comes to that notion of fear of the Lord as the foundation of true knowledge, this is a notion of we need to have a good understanding of things, yes. But we can't really get that until we surrender. And those of you that have been with me before, you know what I'm going to say here, but I'm anticipating some of you that might be new. And so I need to explain. When we talk about fear of the Lord, we're talking about things we fear, things like that, things of the world, fearing being robbed, fearing losing our jobs, fearing whatever it is. These are all things that are taking away from God. God wants you to fear one thing and one thing alone, Him. And if you are in the process of fearing anything else, you are taking not only your attention away from God, but you are replacing the sovereignty of God with that fear. So it's very important that you recognize that fear of the Lord is appropriate. So we reserve our fears for God alone. The God that could actually wipe out all of creation if he wanted to, the same as he did to create it. This is the kind of power that God has. Yet, he chooses to be merciful to us. He chooses to do these things. But even though that's true, we still need to be fearful that this is a being that could at any point wipe us out. There really is nothing we could possibly fear more than God. Not Satan, not the people on this planet, not the circumstances of this planet, not politics, nothing. We fear God alone. And that is the foundation of knowledge. That's where wisdom comes from. We'll talk more about that in some future verses as well. Let's go on to verse 8, a father's exhortation to acquire wisdom. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone. Just for fun, let's ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive, like the grave. Or like Sheol, was our footnote there. Let's swallow them whole, like those who go down to the pit of death. Think of the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff we take. Come, throw your lot in with us, and we'll share all the loot. I'm sorry, and we'll all share the loot. Sounds like something that a young person might hear, oddly enough. Might not be those exact kind of words. Might be that like kind of piratey kind of thing going on. But I know of a lot of situations where, you know, kids are enticed by these kind of things. Verse 15, my child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their paths. They rush to commit evil deeds. They hurry to commit murder. If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. But these people set an ambush for themselves. They're trying to get themselves killed. Such is the fate for all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. There we go. An imperfect system. But that the fate of all the greedy for money is something that's often misunderstood as well. And that is that you can not have money and be more greedy than someone who has money. And we talked about this a couple days ago, that there is a big problem going on in the modern church about this, a big misunderstanding of what this looks like. The assumption that if somebody has a lot of money, a lot of currency within their realm, a lot of wealth, that they are somehow bad because of it. And the Bible just doesn't support that. What the Bible does support is us looking at ourselves and our heart. And that is where God is concerned, is our heart. So if you are greedy for money, the likelihood of you going down pathways that are things like stealing from others and all these kind of different things, these are the notions that will rob you of life. So that's why this is said that way. So now this is kind of interesting too. We should probably say this. The wisdom is portrayed as a female character in some translations or whatever. You'll see that it is the character name of Sophia. But this is not a personification of God. We're going to see that here, that this is not God speaking out. Some scholars and translators have said that wisdom being portrayed here is actually a early manifestation of Jesus, kind of a thing. But I disagree with that personally. I don't actually see that. I think there are aspects of wisdom with Jesus, obviously, and there's some cool call-outs. But the way this is structured is as a female character that is just part of creation. We'll get into that part of it. The logistics of that get a little interesting, but for now, just know that there are a couple of characters that are called out in the process of Proverbs. We have wisdom, we have the fool, we have the mocker, we have the foreign woman or the prostitute, or you know, there's lots of different characters that are called out, and so it's important to know that sometimes there's a shorthand when it comes to these characters, and so as we go along here, you'll discover more and more of those. Verse 20, wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. So we have wisdom crying out, which is an interesting way to think about it. You know, this is not a quiet, stoic kind of a view of wisdom. Verse 21, she calls to the crowds among the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. How long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you. I'll make you wise and make you wise. Verse 24, I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. So I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone, and anguish and distress overwhelm you. When they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me, for they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice. Actually, hang on a second. Hold up. We got to highlight that. Do you see the extremes here? They hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. Those are intertwined. And so once again, if you are making a choice to fear things other than the Lord, you are declaring your hatred of knowledge as well. You are being primal is a word I've heard a lot in a lot of circles about this, but you're basically saying that, you know, you're better than this, you know better, and you know who to fear and who not to fear, that sort of thing. It is so simple. Yet we do it otherwise. And you know what? Here's the reality. I'm just as guilty. I fall into this all the time where I will mislabel it. I'll say, I'm not fearful. I'm just concerned. Yeah, right. I'm fearing things other than God. It is something that I do. And you know what? There is a lack of knowledge that comes with that. There is a definite connection that I feel there. I don't feel smarter when I choose to fear things other than the Lord, put it that way. Verse 30, they rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. So today we've seen basically three different things. We see the purpose of this whole thing, and then we see a warning about what will happen if you don't, and then we see this character of wisdom that is not hiding. She's not like making it mysterious. She's out there calling in the streets. This is not something you have to pay admission fee for. Necessarily. You know, this is something where you have access to this. This is called out, and she's trying to be louder than those other voices, those, you know, I guess you could say as far as in terms of a youth, those other bad voices that are trying to call us away. You'll see this pattern throughout Proverbs, actually, of wisdom calling out and trying to gather you away and other voices trying to gather you to them. And so there's this back and forth that happens all the time in Proverbs. And so really it is just about us and about the character that we choose to be. So, yeah, good to be with you. And we'll be back tomorrow with another chapter, as we do every day. So I hope this has blessed you. And I hope, well, frankly, the weird thing is I'm doing this in a completely different way, and I'm hoping that this actually turns out and I don't have to redo this whole thing. I guess we'll find out. But in any case, we just continue doing this, and I'm hoping that this method is actually going to be a little easier for me to do and kind of remove some of the barriers, but I'm not positive. We'll find out. In any case, I do hope that you are blessed by the best, and then you are a blessing to all the rest. Love you guys, and we'll see you tomorrow.